Here's what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but a merry heart does make like medicine, and a spoon full of sugar helps the medicine go down. That's right, I used that one. Oh, that's a good one. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Don't forget, media stands for making everyone dumber in America. Right. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. Probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I'm going to give you the absolute definitive answer right this second. Because God said I could. There you go. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian, that thingy. So here's one for you. Ooh, this is a really, really good one. Ready? If money was no object, what would you be doing in life? If money was no object, what would you be doing in life? Wow, what a challenge. Hey, if you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That's kind of sad. Just give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite Dave.
Lucky person, you got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite!
Talking to Dynamite D is like getting an unexpected refund from a bill that you paid.
That is lovely.
That is something we all would like. Thank you very much. By the way, you can also text us in the show during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Semi-professional voice coming up now.
214-210-8483.
There you go. It's not too shabby. Also, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, the little A with the circle thing around it, which is the at symbol. He must increase. I know it's got a name. I don't really care. At hemustincrease.org, david@hemustincrease.org. Plus, we're going to send you up to the website. A couple of things to tell you there. On the website are praise and prayer opportunities. If you've got a prayer request, you can put it there on the website. You got a praise report, but you don't really want to share it, or you want somebody else to share it, we'll do it for you because we love praise reports. And if your prayer request is private or public, you tell us. We'll work that together as well. On the website also is a few additional updates. You got to check out some of the articles. Some of them are very, very good. Plus, there's a place to give, and here's your scripture for the day on giving. Here we go. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Do me a favor, check it all out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Okay, are there any questions? Yes.
Where's the basement?
Excuse me?
Aren't we going to see the basement?
There's no basement at the Alamo.
All right, for anybody that actually knows where that clip comes from, I'm just going to say, you know, I know you are, but what am I? Anyway, the bottom line is that's just classic. Let's move it on. I do want you to be praying for the audience. Very important. Now, if you listened to the show yesterday, you should know right now. We need to be praying for Nola, for John, for Nola's parents. We're going to keep praying, keep petitioning, keep asking the Lord. So I'm going to lead us off in prayer in this one. Plus, Rosalind had a very close friend so they has gone through quite the challenge, and we just want to pray for them, as well as Robert King knows some people that also went through challenges. I mean, there is just a lot of challenges going on. So just so you can know, because I go through the same thing too. And I asked the Lord, I said, you know, I said, just every once in a while, I'd like you just to go ding, ding, ding. I will say that Glenn, who went through his surgery, it came out excellent. They went very well. So I'm praising the Lord for that, because they actually did not know how well he would do through that. So we want to thank the Lord for graciousness in that surgery. We want to keep praying for Nola. We want to keep praying for some of these people that are hurting. And, you know, I was just talking to the Lord, and it's just like, Lord, I hate what this whole sin thing has done. I hate death. I hate sickness. I hate disease. I just hate it all. I hate it because it's so harsh or whatever. And I just got the impression, like, the Lord was like, yeah, that's why I'm the resurrection of the world. I'm the resurrection.
Like, I thought that was so powerful, Dave, to talk about it at the source. Like, that's the origin of it. And we thank God for grace, but it's like going back to that original fall, that sin, and that's why those ripple effects.
It's ongoing. It's one of the reasons why so many things are so contradictory, such a mess. I mean, it's a mess, right? And so look, we've been redeemed. Jesus said he's the resurrection. And you have to think of Jesus. You know the answer to all of this? I'm just going to say it right now. The answer to all of this, it's Jesus. That is the answer. And it's like in him, there is this hope that goes beyond the capacity of man. So let's bring it in prayer. Do it together. Take your faith. Combine it with mine. Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you and praise you for everything that's going on in life. It's hard, Lord, for us to look at these situations and go, oh, that's fantastic. But it's not hard to believe that you have purpose. It's not hard to believe that you're working something that we are unaware of. And it's not hard to believe that you have our best interests in mind. So we acknowledge that. We acknowledge the shortcoming that we have. But we also acknowledge the faith that we have. Just like that man said to you, Jesus, I believe, help thou my unbelief. That's where we're at. And we're asking you, Lord God Almighty, for Nola's sake and for their family's sake, we're just going to keep petitioning you until there's no more place to petition. So bring healing there. Bring comfort to the people that Rosalind and Robert know, and bring comfort to every one of us. We've got our brother Ace. We've got Deborah. We've got Gary. We're asking you to bring healing into these people's lives and other people who we don't mention on the same regular basis. Lord, they're hurting physically, they're hurting spiritually, they're hurting emotionally, but you are the healer. And Moses said to you with quite some passion in your word, please heal her, Lord, referring to Miriam. That's the same passion we're praying to you with. Heal these people, touch these people. You are Jehovah Rapha. Show us your name, that you are the Lord God that heals. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Okay, that's the way we get the show rolling. That's how we're rolling today. And just because you might not be aware, we are actually in an interesting portion in 2 Corinthians. We actually did this last week, so we're going to pick up on it because I want to make sure that we all kind of stay connected. By the way, don't forget to be praying for one another in general. That's very important. But let's pick it up at 2 Corinthians. What did I say? 2 Corinthians. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 11. If you remember verse 10, we were talking about godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation without regret. Okay? Worldly sorrow brings death. That's verse 10. So now we're at verse 11. Now look at what Paul does. He kind of takes a shift, and I want to explain this. Consider what the godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what zeal, what vindication. In every way, you have proved yourself to be innocent in this matter. So even though I wrote you, it was not on account of the one who did wrong or the one who was harmed, but rather that your earnestness on our behalf would be made clear to you in the sight of God. Well, that's so big right there. On account of this, we are encouraged. So I want to lay the groundwork because people are there going, okay, kind of losing the story here. Let me give you the story. I'm going to catch up real fast. Okay, there was a conflict that caused a very painful visit when Paul was there prior. And there was a severe letter that Paul wrote in response to this conflict. The severe letter achieved a certain degree of correction. The rebel who had caused the grief, not merely for Paul, but for the entire church to some extent, had been repudiated by the majority. So with their cooperation, Paul is ready to forgive and comfort the offender. Okay, that's really important because if somebody does repent, we have to be the people that go, we forgive you. Not, we forgive you if you pay this, say this. That's not, no. You have to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, but you don't give a person a price. The price, once a person repents, is the blood of Jesus. You don't add to that, okay? So with their cooperation, Paul's ready to forgive and comfort. He doesn't want Satan to take advantage of the discord in the church that we're going to get to that later on. And in the church tradition, the church scholars for the last 2,000 years, and I mean scholars for 2,000 years, some people think that this offender is the person who was the incestuous man who had an incestuous affair. Other people think this is a person who challenged Paul's authority. It's not specifically stated which one it is, and I think that's an interesting question. Lots of fun to talk about, but not the point. The point is this. Paul says this, and I want to fire in on this because it's so big. Consider what this godly sorrow has produced in you. So from last week, I'm kind of piggybacking up on that same thing. It's like, here's another testimony that you're saved or a testimony that someone is not saved. When God moves upon us with a sorrow, which means a pain or a grieving or a sadness, it creates a movement towards getting it right and getting on track. That zeal is an indication that godly grief is having the desired effect and impact on us. It makes us, moves us, molds us, ready, to do better. And when the Lord and you engage, and we're talking about, you know, kind of a rebuke situation. So don't be, you know, I know, talk about just going through the scriptures one by one. You can't do any better than we're doing it in that way. When the Lord challenges you in something and you know, okay. Instead of defending it, which is the dumbest thing ever, or justifying it, which probably is just as dumb as defending it, I guess, inside of us, there should be this desire to go, oh, I'm sorry. I want to do better. I might be falling over here. I might be tripping myself, or I'm getting tripped, whatever that is. But I want to do better, Lord. That I want to do better, that is a vindication that it is God working in you and you working with God and you going, wow. We're talking about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit in probably about, I don't know, three and a half weeks or so. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is never a real problem for anybody who's really just doesn't ever want to commit it. Why? Because they don't want to commit it. That's the whole point. It's the people that don't care. See, you see how that works? You see? When you do, you get that right there?
Dave, you know why that's so deep? The enemy can start messing with your mind and think it's you, and you're like, no, you don't want to commit that. That means that's the answer right there.
We've talked about yesterday a little bit about the flesh. We're talking about it right now. It's like, look, when you get in this communion with the Lord and the Lord challenges you, and your response is, Lord, I want to do better. I'm sorry. That's a proof of childhood, not a proof that you're a loser. That's the exact opposite. See, the devil makes big things little things big. It's like the same kind of stuff. It's like you got to go, no. And you know in your heart, nobody has to tell you, by the way. You don't have to muster it up, nothing fake about it. If you do something wrong and the Lord challenges you, you go, I got to do better. I say that like 15 times a day.
Don't we all?
I do it every day. Every day. Just every day, just like I go, I'll do something. I was praying today and I did something and I was like, I can't believe I'm praying to you
And I am thinking this on the other part of me. It's like, what is wrong? I say that to the Lord.
That's the real part, Dave. That's the real stuff.
It's like, ugh. I said, what a, you know, we say it all the time. I'm a mess, but I'm God's mess. That's what I care about. The rest of it is just figure it out as we go. I do wish I'd hear, like, before I finish the sentence. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
And that hope that is offered to us is something that's supposed to greatly encourage us. Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And by faith in the testimony of God, you can live forever. That hope is offered to us. If that hope is offered to you and you have not yet accepted, acknowledged, and surrendered to it, I ask you to do so right this second. I don't even care if you do a fancy prayer. Just say, God, save me in Jesus' name. You will be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried, 3 days later he rose again, and you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, turning from where you were and turning to him, you will find life right now. You might be out there thinking, there's no way it can be that easy. Wrong, but you have to receive it. You have to surrender to it. You have to acknowledge God's testimony and say yes to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what your friends say. Doesn't matter what any other family member says. It only matters for your decision before God in regards to his testimony relating to Jesus Christ and your sins. And that's the hope that is offered to us. And we can be greatly encouraged by that. And that hope is an anchor to our soul. That anchor makes it so that even if the winds are heavy and the waves are intense, we don't get tossed and lost. That there is some stability, that there is some strength. And you can't be like those people that have no hope. All there is this life and there's nothing else. That's why they're trying to sin their brains out, because they don't think there's anything else left. But they're going to die and face God. And he's going to ask regarding his account that he's given in relationship to Jesus Christ. And they're going to have to answer. And if they have rejected, then they will be as they have placed themselves as people with no hope. But if you're a person that has not made that decision to say yes to Jesus Christ, make that decision right now. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Where I want you guys to remember to be praying for Dynamite D, for Jennifer, and for Don. Okay? There's three people I need you to know. You need to be praying for these three people.
Always.
I mean,
yeah, always. This is a good line right there.
So I want you guys to be praying for them. Okay, let's get ready for our first triv question. Here we go. This is a classic, and we got a lot to cover, a lot to do, so let's try and get to it. Here's your first trivia question. This is in Leviticus. Chapter 12. That's the only thing I'm going to tell you. Jewish boys were circumcised when they were how old, according to Leviticus 12? Jewish boys were supposed to be circumcised when they were how old? 972-445-0770. That's the number to call. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483. Also, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So those are the three things that you can do on that to let you know. We're going to probably do, I don't know if we're going to get DNA in yet because I've just got so much to cover before we get a chance. But that's the trivia question. There it is. Jewish boys were circumcised when they were how old? Your answer's right there in Leviticus chapter 12. So you guys should kind of know that. Somebody is calling in, ready to give the answer. Let's fire on. Let's see what they do. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Dave, it's Jay. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Jay. How are you doing?
About the same.
About the same?
I think I've told you before, people, one of the best things I've always heard and used myself is I'm doing great for the shape I'm in.
Gotcha. I'm doing better today because yesterday's done, and I'm looking forward
exactly
to tomorrow.
Yeah. Leviticus, I have to say, is probably my least favorite book to read because it's just so, like, walking through the weeds, you know?
I gotcha.
But I believe, not just in Leviticus, but other places that I've read, that a Jewish boy is to be circumcised on the eighth day.
That is correct, Amanda! That is a correct answer, and now I got Al giving me some of the classic jokes. He goes, this is a painful topic. Yeah, he didn't do the Mel Brooks circumcision half off. You know, he didn't do that one. But that's a Mel Brooks movie thing. So anyway, good job. Excellent job. Let me pray over you to fill your heart full of joy and confidence, okay?
Oh, thank you, Dave.
All right, let's do it. Father, I lift up my brother to you right now, and just, Lord, I'll take some of mine, pour it into him, take it from wherever. You got plenty, Lord. Just pour into him a greater sense of joy and purpose for all he's going through. It doesn't seem like there's anything to it. It seems like it's a pretty frustrating, repetitive element. Lord, give him that hope. He needs that hope more than anything else. He's got to have his feet on a rock and a new song in his heart, and you're the one that's got to put him there. So we ask you to help him in his circumstance, bless him in his situation, let him not be overwhelmed by what he sees, but let him walk by what he can believe for and manifest to that to him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you, sir. And I'll tell you what, I get really close to overwhelmed, but I've always found that when I reach my hand out, Jesus grabs it and lifts me up. So,
amen. Amen, brother. I'm right
love
there with
you.
All right.
You don't know how much I look forward to 1:30.
I look forward to 12:45 when I'm through the traffic. I'm just saying. So I get to the studio. It's like,
you're cutting it close. Buddy.
Yeah, I know. It gets pretty tight sometimes. All right. Great job, yeah, bro. Appreciate you.
You bet. All right. Appreciate y'all.
God bless.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, we'll do the DNA in the next one because I got to finish off on this teach. Everybody did an excellent job on that, so I just want to say congratulations. Let me get to this little text thing because this is really important. I want you to catch it. So this is something that's not going to please a lot of people because in our society there's a lot of victiming, right? I mean, you can't say there isn't. Of course there is. In verse 12 of that 2 Corinthians 7 text, Paul says, so even though I wrote to you, it was not on the account of the one who did the wrong or the one who was harmed. This is something that people miss. But rather that your earnestness on our behalf would be made clear to you in the sight of God. To understand this, Paul is writing saying this. In context, it has this perfect flow from the Holy Spirit. He didn't write on the account of the abuser, sinner, rebel, and he didn't write on the account of the victims, the abused, or the pain. He wrote on the behalf of the righteousness of God. And I understand that man has this strong desire for a sense of justice. It's built in, so don't be too strange about that. But the problem is justice based on sinful human wisdom falls short every time. James 1:20 states, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Proverbs 14:12 states, there is a way that seems right to a man, but at its end is the way of death. So all of these fake, woke, ideological, you know, victim restoration kind of mentalities, not even close to biblical truth, not even in the ballpark to biblical truth. And so it's just as plain as can be. Paul says it this way, and I'll paraphrase on purpose. Hey, I didn't write you because of the bad person. I didn't write you because of the people that got hurt by the bad person. I wrote you so you'd get it right with God. Ah. So getting it right with God doesn't mean you get a certain amount of money. The way they do it, it's like, it's absurd. And that people do that in the name of Christ as proclamations of ministers, ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They're not only are they not using the Bible, I'm not sure they're even connected to the right Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11:4 talks about the people preaching a different Jesus. Sounds like it. But it doesn't sound like this stuff. I thought when Jesus was on the cross, he said, forgive them. They know not what they do. I thought Stephen said the same thing in Acts chapter 7. You know what? I think that's what it says. That's what it says. So when Paul's writing, he's like, look, I'm doing this on behalf of God. This is not about mankind ever being justified or right independently of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, and it never will be, because that is not the eternal story. The eternal story is man blew it, and God, by sacrifice, makes man right through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the eternal story. Period. End of conversation. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey, la, 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La, la, la.
You asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. So we, being not completely unlike, you know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth, we got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish, and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough. Because I was right there again, holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door, trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then, instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the, and I've got the act up, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.